This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Living the dream once again here on a fabulous Saturday. Hartman and Schwartz with you. We are in the Fox Sports Radio studios. Yes, on this Saturday, third round completed the Open Championship. That one's in the books. We got a lot of things to cover today, including Game 5 of the NBA Finals. But, Jeff, here's what I'm thinking about right now. I'm thinking about the National Football League. Two teams getting ready for the Hall of Fame game.
Yes.
We'll be opening up their training camps coming up here on the 21st. So, NFL football has arrived as ready for the inaugural 17-game regular season. Are you ready to roll?
I am so ready to roll. And before we get going, NFL, it is pretty sad for the NBA that we can't. It's game five, like a huge game. Like game fives are pivotal, right? Winner of game five wins like 85% of the series. And we're just going to spend NFL for the first hour. Absolutely love it as an NFL guy. But nonetheless, look, last weekend I was not in, obviously. I was doing something grand. I was at a seminar in Dallas with 160 offensive linemen, right? We've been doing this now for 4 years. O-line Masterminds is the biggest crowd we had yet. We had all pros there and Super Bowl champions and legends. Jesse Sapolo was there. Olin Krutz was there. Brian Baldinger was there. Obviously, you know, active guys. My brother, Ryan Jensen, Teron Armstead. Just we just talked ball, man, for 48 hours. And it got me so in the mood for football. And I'm so excited that next week we'll get our first glimpse of teams preparing for this upcoming season. And you can feel it in the, you can feel it in the air. You can feel that fresh cut grass the first day of training camp.
You know, I was talking to someone that puts out like an annual NFL almanac, and it's for fantasy football players projecting points, you know, over unders on wins. And you have to sort of adjust your eyeballs because, again, there's an extra regular season game. Like, the idea of a quarterback throwing for 5,000 yards, obviously it's been done very few times, but there could be a couple of extra guys throwing for 5,000 yards with the additional game. Then you look at the wins, right? You see, wow, over under 9, like 9-7. No, 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 not 9-7, 9-8. There's an extra game now.
Yep.
So, yeah, if you're one of those that like to wager on the NFL, which is a very, very small percentage of people that follow the NFL. No one ever does. Be careful. Remind yourself again. We got a seven. So if you do one of those future bets, again, nobody does future bets in the NFL.
Especially not in your state. Not legal there.
Not even. But, I mean, if you were to do something like that, remember again, this is a 17-game regular season for the first time ever. All right. So, I mean, we got a lot of things to get covered. In fact, coming up here shortly, we're going to get into a list of the top quarterbacks. I want to save that. But I just want to get your sense right now. You know, think about when you first came to the league. I mean, I hate to say it was a long time ago, but it wasn't that long. But, you know, things have definitely changed right now. Yeah. Certainly what we learned a year ago, how we had to change things to get ready during the pandemic for the 2020 season. There were sort of bits and pieces that they took away from that, saying, hey, do we really need that? Maybe we don't. We will have a preseason. There'll be three games instead of the scheduled four games in the past because of the extra regular season. But what do you anticipate? I mean, what has changed right now over the last couple of years? What's going to be a little bit different as far as these training camps are concerned getting ready for 2021?
Well, a lot less contact, right? I mean, that's something that was negotiated in the new CBA. When I got to the NFL, it was double days. It was first day. So the Cowboys report July 20th.
Yep.
July 21st would have been 9 a.m., full pads, three-hour practice. Then we would have come back at 6:30 at night with our pads on and would have had a two-hour practice, right? That's all changed now. 5 days of ramp-up period, only a certain number of days in pads. You get off days now, and everything is done with GPS units and monitoring stress and monitoring how much you move and reps and whatnot. So, you know, things are just more scientific now. It's not just, hey, let's go out and hit X amount of times in a day, or really, it's just hit as many times as you can in a day, right? So a couple of things are just different, which is, you know, the development of players can sometimes take a little bit longer than in the past. But I will tell you, a lot of rookies proved that wrong last year, right? Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert. This year, though, I will say, I'm very curious to see a guy like Justin Herbert, who did not play his rookie season with crowd noise.
Yep.
Now, the last game of the year was in Kansas City. They had fans. But, you know, Arrowhead will be 70,000 strong when they play again this season. So a couple of things I think we'll see different this year for camp. As we continue to take away practices, we're seeing a lot more joint practices. So if you notice, a lot of your favorite teams, guys, are signing up for one or two joint practices, right? So you have, let's say I'm in Carolina. I think Carolina has a joint practice. I don't know. Let's say the Bills, I think it is, whatever. So you the Bills are playing the Panthers in Carolina on a Saturday. On Wednesday, they come to Spartanburg, where the camp is at. You practice Wednesday, Thursday against the Bills, take off Friday, obviously, and you play Saturday. And the reason why we're seeing more joint practices is because you're trying to find a way to simulate contact, right? As much full live speed contact as you can have.
And that's far more beneficial. I haven't heard a single player that doesn't say they get far more out of these organized scrimmages than they do out of any preseason game.
Well, it's a really good barometer, obviously, for an older player who might not need the practice reps, you know, but is not going to play in the preseason game. But, you know, like for my position, offensive line, it's going to get some reps in. You know, guys like a little bit of practice when you get older. You don't need a lot of it. But this is a way for you to do it in a more controlled environment where the chance of injuries is far less than a preseason game. The plays are scripted. You know, there's a little bit of respect between you and the guy you're going against in a practice that you might not have during a game, right? And so we're seeing a lot more of these become the norm, and that's, again, to simulate as much as you can full game speed reps without the games, and there's opportunities for young players to shine and whatnot. And I want to talk about that real quick, Steve. I'll mention this week. I'll mention it next week. I'll mention it week after that. As we approach training camp, we hear about roster camp battles, right? Camp battles. Who's battling it out? Mm. I believe the roster is 55 guys now.
Right.
They added two because of COVID.
And on average, how many of those 55 slots are already predetermined before they even start training camp?
I would say 48 of them.
At least.
And that's with the 53-man roster.
Right.
And here's why, guys. So you have your draft picks, right? The guys you've drafted. You're going to invest at least 3 years in anyone drafted between rounds 1 and 5. And some teams might even do that 6 and 7. But 1 through 5, 1 through 4, they're there 3 years. You have the guys in free agency who are there. Okay, you signed them. You're paying them money. They're playing. You have guys that you brought in for specific roles. You brought a guy in for, you know, to be a special teamer and a linebacker. He's really good at those things. He's on the roster as a quality depth guy. And so, you know, camp is about, you know, one more offensive lineman. Who's the last offensive lineman? Who's the last linebacker? Who's the last corner? It's about that more than like, oh, everyone's competing for a starting spot. When you're penciled in, man, entering training camp, if that first day happens and there's not, and you're not rotating with someone, they're telling you they want you to start. And you have to lose that job essentially more than someone has to win that job. And of course, it depends on where you're, what position you're at, what part of your career you're in. So it's not a lot of training camp battles. So guys, and I don't think guys realize this, it's more to realize when you're older.
Well,
you know, look back on it.
And when you think about coordinators on both sides of football and even your special teams guys, I mean, they're already making plans. In other words, you know, the game plan for the 2021 season, either offensively or defensively, isn't done the day before the first game. I mean, they've been working on this the entire offseason. All right, we got this guy, we got this guy, we got this guy. Like you said,
they've watched every opponent. They've watched them all. They've scouted.
Right.
When I was in Kansas City during the offseason program, now it might be different now because, you know, offseason program is a little different. Andy Reid would spend a day. Now, this is in the spring during OTAs. We'd have one day that was a Raiders day. One day that was a Broncos day. One day that was a Chargers day. And so we would what we do in the city, we'd watch film on the other team. We'd practice against their pressures, their fronts, their defenses, vice versa, obviously, for the defense. And so, you know, you're always, so the coaches, they don't just spend time, especially in the NFL, they don't spend time wasting, right? They're in the building studying. In college, it's recruiting, there's other things involved. In the NFL, man, you're exactly right, Steve. When you get to training camp, they sort of already know what they're going to do in weeks 1, 2, 3, and 4.
And they know their personnel.
Yes, and unless
somebody just loses it, which can happen,
of course,
like, and then there's injuries and everything else, and even when you're maybe have a high draft pick that you're already projecting into the lineup, you're already done that. Yeah, I mean, you've got an idea how they're going to fit. So I agree with you. I mean, they're realizing the obvious, and we always knew this about training camp. There was more about an idea of just getting guys back into shape. Back in the old days when they weren't, you know, they were working off-season jobs. These guys are training, you know, 365 days a year now. So completely different dynamic, which is good. And as we saw last year with no training camp to speak of, no preseason games, you know, there were some injuries and we had to, you know, work through some COVID situations. But the bottom line is every game was played.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the end of the season, the numbers pretty much looked identical to normal numbers, and, you know, it all played out. All right, on the other side, I want to get into this. Oh, yeah. All right, so every time we talk NFL, what do we think about quarterbacks? And already there's a list out that is causing some controversy, especially one guy on this list being touted as one of the best current quarterbacks in the National Football League. We're going to break it down coming up next.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year-round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
Podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Steve Harbin, Jeff Schwartz with you on this Saturday. Yeah, we're talking NFL. You know why? Because the NFL training camp schedule begins this week. And we know that as people get ready for their preparation for 2021, you got fantasy football to think about, all kinds of future wagers. There's a lot on the line. So especially when I'm sitting here with Jeff, we're going to fill you in on as many things as we possibly can over the several weeks ahead of the start of the actual season itself, including trying to evaluate quarterbacks, Jeff, which is always an interesting study. There is no position in all of sports that gets more of a spotlight than quarterbacks in the National Football League. They are the only position, by the way, if you were to open up your Pro Football Reference or even the official NFL record and factbook, where you see wins and losses next to their names. Like they're a pitcher. I mean, I don't know when this began, probably about 15 years ago when they actually started talking about their winning percentage. Why this isn't true of other positions, I'm not quite sure, but it does illustrate why there's so much focus on the quarterback position. So I'm going to throw out a stat for you. And then we're going to get into this. ESPN put out a list of their top 10 current quarterbacks in the National Football League. You ready for a stat?
Yes.
So among active NFL starting quarterbacks, there are only 6 current quarterbacks that have a winning record against winning teams. And what I'm basing that on is winning games in a season where you beat a team that finished that season with a winning record.
Okay.
But there's only 6 of them. Think about that, right? 32 teams.
That makes sense.
There's only 6 quarterbacks that have a career winning record against teams that finished those seasons with winning records. They are Tom Brady.
Of course.
Patrick Mahomes.
Of course.
Russell Wilson.
Yep.
Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Okay.
And Jimmy Garoppolo.
I would not have guessed the last two.
Okay, so those are the 6 quarterbacks, Brady, Wilson, Mahomes, Jackson, Garoppolo, and Roethlisberger are the only 6 active quarterbacks to have a current winning record in games in which they beat a team that finished that season with a winning record. Let me give you a number for you. Since he entered the NFL in 2009, Matthew Stafford's record against teams that finished the season with a winning record, so he's played 12 years in the NFL, is 8-67. 8-67, that's a 106 winning percentage. And in 2020, he was 0-6. Okay, so I preface this by looking at the ESPN list of the top 10 quarterbacks. So fill in our listeners out there of some of the names they have on this list.
So this is a ranking they do every year. Executives, coaches, and players make their picks. And sometimes I wonder if anyone actually watches these games. So number one is Pat Mahomes. Of course, it's Pat Mahomes, right? Makes a ton of sense. And by the way, he was ranked as high as one, as low as three. I don't know who ranked three. Aaron Rodgers, number two.
Did you notice Aaron Rodgers was not on my list?
Aaron Rodgers had a pretty interesting career. I'm going to butcher this stat. I'm going to come back to it. There's a stat of his that's very surprising to you.
Okay.
Tom Brady was ranked as high as one, as low as six. He's third. Right. Then Russell Wilson, then Josh Allen, and then Matthew Stafford.
Okay, hold on a second here. I just gave you an insane stat that this guy in 12 seasons in the NFL has won a total of 8 games against teams that finished that season with a winning record. 8-67, a 106 winning percentage, and he was 0-6 last year. Last year, and you're telling me because he has a Rams uniform on now that suddenly he is the number 6 quarterback in the entire NFL?
So, real quick, I'm going to finish the list.
Finish the list. Okay. Who's behind Stafford?
Dak Prescott, 7. Lamar Jackson's 8. Justin Herbert's 9. Mm. And Kyler Murray's 10. Okay, so let's get to Stafford real quickly.
All right.
So, this list feels very much like it's a list that is looking at where they're ranked heading into the season, right? Look, obviously Dak did not play last year, but I think people would number 7's about right for Dak. Lamar Jackson, 8, about right for Lamar. People think he's higher. I don't think he's higher than about where he is. Herbert's pretty high at 9. Kyler Murray, in my opinion, pretty high at 10. The other ones getting votes are Matt Ryan, Derek Carr, Big Ben, Ryan Tannehill, all the ones you think. I think that there's a case Ryan Tannehill's in the top 10. So all this is kind of where you think these guys are heading into 2021. The Stafford one feels like a projection of where people think he might be to end 2021, right? Because there's no way you can say he's the 6th best quarterback in the NFL right now. There's no argument to be made for that. It's just not there. Yes, he throws for a lot of yards, often coming from behind in a lot of games. And you want to blame the
garbage time.
Sure. But your stat is very accurate. It is accurate. It's not, it's a stat. It's very compelling. It tells a good story here. But this feels like someone, or really people voting on this, are projecting him out at the end of the season in an offense that's very quarterback friendly, right? It made Jared Goff a lot of money. It's made Baker Mayfield money. It will make Baker Mayfield money. It's made a lot of people money, right? This Shanahan, a little adapted to McVay offense right now. It's made a lot of people money. I think he will play well this season in this offense. I don't know if he's playing that well. But what bothered me about this was that this is a projection of where they hope he is at the end of the season, where these other guys are where they are now. Mahomes is 1, right? Rodgers is 2. Brady, 3. I think it's a little high. Russell Wilson's 4. Josh Allen's 5. Look, if Deshaun Watson didn't have his legal troubles, he'd be right there, right? He'd be probably between, I actually put him at probably 4, but whatever. So, my issue with this is that, again, Stafford's going to play well in the offense because everyone plays well in this offense. But that doesn't make him the 6th best quarterback. If you were doing a draft right now of quarterbacks, I'm not sure he'd come in 6th.
No. Look, there are so many apologists out there for Matthew Stafford based on a franchise that he's playing with. I mean, the fact that he's 0-3 of the playoffs, joined the club since 1957 when the Lions won their last NFL championship. That even predates me. Okay, that's how long back we're going. They won one playoff game. One since 1957. That was in 91 when they blew out the Cowboys with Eric Kramer at quarterback. So, I mean, he joined the parade. But also, keep in mind, his first seven seasons in the NFL, he was throwing to arguably the most talented wide receiver in the NFL in Megatron, Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
I mean, who made who here? I mean, you telling me that Matthew Stafford made Calvin Johnson? Come on. I don't think anyone believes that. Calvin Johnson was able to pile up some huge numbers and, yes, enhance the numbers of Matthew Stafford, who is had the good fortune of throwing the ball to an unguardable wide receiver.
I think Matt Stafford's a little bit better than you give him credit for, and obviously very, very, his arm talent is up there. But here's one thing that happened when I was in Detroit. I was just there for the preseason of 2016.
Yeah,
and remember, like, it wasn't, that was Jim Caldwell years. Like, the Lions weren't bad in those years. So we had our first preseason game of the year,
and that was the year Calvin Johnson quit.
2016. He wasn't on the team. I don't know if that was the year.
2015 was his last year there. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm there in 2016 during camp. I really like Caldwell. He was a good coach. He kind of got a bad deal.
I think he's a good coach.
He should be coaching in the NFL.
He's got a winning record as a coach. Yeah,
he's really good as a coach. Okay, so we played Pittsburgh in the first preseason game. I don't even remember how it went. We come home to play the Bills in the second preseason game. So I'm on this. I'm not starting. I didn't even play that game. And I'm dressed out. I'm on the sidelines. And the first team offense goes out on the field. They have a 3-and-out. I hear this weird sound in the crowd. It sounds like they're booing. They're booing the offense. A 3-and-out. First home preseason game.
Yeah.
So I turned to, I think it was Eric Ebron, which he was still young at that point, but I turned to a couple other people too and was like, is this like normal? They're like, yeah, it's normal. And that's obviously it's atrocious fan behavior, right? And so when you think about that, and you have an organization whose fans think so little of them that they get that the fans boo the first drive of a preseason game. Playing in that environment, though, it's hard to win. It is hard to win. And I'm interested to see if Stafford, you know, if he can live up to this hype, the sixth best quarterback in the NFL, in a new situation, one where, you know, Los Angeles doesn't care about the Rams, but, you know, a situation where, you know, he has a much better coach, a much better offense, better overall talent around him, right? Look at the talent on defense. Obviously, you know, the talent he has at wide receiver and running back and offensive line, and he's got a, you know, stud left tackle in Whitworth. I'm excited to see him in this offense. So, again, that feels like a projection, Steve. Sixth best quarterback is what they hope he is after the season. Where the rest of this is pretty much within a couple rankings of where guys should be.
Well, look, first of all, there are people that care about the Rams in L.A. because I'm here right now. But I can tell you this, nobody cares about Matthew Stafford unless somehow he is a major upgrade from Jared Goff, who for 2 years was one of the elite quarterbacks in this league and did guide this team all the way to a Super Bowl appearance. When things went south for the Rams offense, wasn't as much on Goff as Todd Gurley's injury, age on the offensive line. They couldn't move anybody, and suddenly Goff's numbers went down. And how about a predictable offense that was exposed in that Super Bowl by Bill Belichick? And the Ram offense has never looked the same. And this gets back to Sean McVay blaming his quarterback, so desperately blaming his quarterback that he's giving up first-round picks just to unload the guy to bring in a guy like Matthew Stafford. If Stafford is no better than Goff was, then now you have to turn your attention to one guy, and that's Sean McVay.
Well, I think he knows that, too, in making this decision. So there's a couple things to consider with this offense with Jared Goff. I don't know if this is because McVay just didn't trust Goff or this is what Goff wanted, but, you know, those headsets that the coach-to-player talk, right?
Right.
It lasts from the time, the end of the play, so 40 seconds on the game clock to 15 seconds on the play clock, right? And so you can talk to the quarterback the entire time. So what the Rams were doing a lot of the times is getting the line of scrimmage. It's very college-esque. Get a line of scrimmage, you rush up there, you get set, you see what the defense gives you, and then McVay would radio in a play call, okay? Very college-esque, right? If you watch college football, run the line of scrimmage, hot, 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 nothing moves. You turn to the sideline, they give you a play, set hut and you snap the ball. So when you kind of do that, it does limit the options you have on offense. Now, again, I don't know if that was limitations on Goff or that's what McVay wanted to do. I think it was a little bit on Goff. So he wanted Matt Stafford. McVay wanted Matt Stafford because he doesn't want to do that anymore. He wants to take Matt Stafford, and Matt did this in Detroit. I have full faith Matt could do this. I played with him in Detroit. It was a short time, but we did this with our offense where, hey, man, here's the base play, and you just correct it if you want to. You fix it. You get to a different play. And so, now obviously, if the offense continues to be simplistic, which it can be at times, but maybe that's because of Goff, that it will be on McVay. But I think that there is some reason to think it will be different with Stafford being able to change plays on his own and not having the coach have to kind of tell him and walk him through everything that they should be doing.
Well, if Sean McVay is ever going to regain his status as a so-called genius, he's going to have that happen. And the jury will be out. So, hey, at the end of this season, we may look back at this list and saying, you know what? Indeed, Matthew Stafford was that guy. Or we're going to look back saying, were they kidding themselves? Just because he put on a new uniform, we were going to see a different Matthew Stafford again. 8-67. 8-67 in 12 years in the NFL, his record against winning teams. 8-67. That is a telling stat. All right, we're going to get to another huge change for this NFL season. But first, let's find out what's trending right now. So we welcome in Ralph Ervin. Ralphie, how are you today?
I'm good. I'm shocked, Steve, you didn't drop the name Jeff George in there because I know how much you like to pull that one out.
Jeff George, he had one amazing season with the Raiders where if you just look at his numbers, I think he had like 29 touchdowns, maybe 7 or 8 interceptions. You think, wow, I mean, they must have had a great year, 4-12. You're like, how is it possible that your starting quarterback starts every game, has those numbers, and they finish 4-12? How's that possible? But that was Jeff George. That's how he was.
Indeed. Well, one guy who's not like that because he's actually had success, well, that's Louis Oosthuizen, who is sitting atop the leaderboard at the Open Championship, Royal St. George in Sandwich, England. And Oosthuizen, a 1-under-69 today. He sits at 12 under par, one shot ahead of Colin Morikawa, who shot a 2-under-68. Three shots back, you'll find Jordan Spieth. 1-under-69 on the day. He was actually as low as 12 under par, but he did bogey his final two holes to finish at -9. And four shots off the pace, you'll find Corey Connors and Scotty Scheffler. One final already in from Major League Baseball as Detroit was a 1-0 winner over Minnesota. Game one of a doubleheader. So they only played 7 innings. Robbie Grossman, a home run in the first. That was the deciding factor as the Tigers snapped their 4-game losing streak. Supposed to be playing right now in Buffalo, Texas at Toronto, but that game has been postponed due to rain. They'll play a doubleheader tomorrow. And, of course, we're making our way towards game number 5 of the NBA Finals. Coming up, Phoenix hosting the Milwaukee Bucks. That series tied at 2 games apiece. Tip-off coming at 9 o'clock Eastern time. But we'll send it right back now. It is Steve Hartman, Jeff Schwartz, and Fox Sports Radio.
All right, Ralph, thanks so much. We'll check in with you a little bit later on. So the NFL made a decision this week, Jeff, saying that the Black National Anthem, Lift Every Voice and Sing, will be played at every single NFL game in 2021.
Yes.
The NFL says it is part of their effort to reinforce the league's 10-year, $250 million commitment to combat systemic racism. Jay-Z and his Roc Nation label have been advising the league through all of this. By the way, when I hear 10 years, $250 million, for a league that generates $15 billion in net revenue every year, 10 years, $250 million is literally a drop in the ocean, which gets back to sort of where I stand on all this. I mean, there's a couple of layers on this, but to me, it just screams pandering, that somehow that they believe instead of actually doing things that could make some progress to bridge the gap,
yeah,
that by playing this Black National Anthem at every game is somehow a way to do what? Is it to remind us of our divide, or is it a way to actually bring people together? And keep in mind, when you're watching NFL games, you're not going to see this, okay? Yes. This will be for those in attendance at NFL games. Do you stand necessarily for the Black National Anthem? If you don't stand, I mean, there's a lot of questions there. No, but to me, the bigger question is, what exactly are the NFL's, what's their end game? I always ask this, what is your end game here? What exactly are you hoping to accomplish as you try and reinforce your efforts to combat systemic racism?
Well, the NFL doesn't do much without thinking about their bottom line, right?
Right.
And if they decided to do this, which there's been a lot of backlash for that from all parties, not just people that that we might think, they don't make decisions, in my opinion, without thinking about their bottom line. And so if they feel like this is a decision that will make them money, I don't know how that is, right? I mean, I've already had people say, "I'm not going to NFL games this year." Well, you know, they'll sell your ticket and someone else will go instead. I don't know if this helps with corporate sponsorship, if this helps with future TV deals, which they just locked in, if this helps with anything else they're doing. That, in my opinion, is what they always are about, right? Is how to make the most money in any situation. And if they felt like this would tank their ratings or tank fan involvement or tank ticket sales, they wouldn't do it. And guess what, Steve? They might hear from players, they might hear from corporate sponsors, they might hear from fans, and they decide to change this because the backlash is too much. That might happen, right? But I don't think so. I don't think they're going to change. And so that's why I think they did this in the end. Now, you're right. They say all the right things. Have you heard any players talk about this? I have not.
Well,
heard players
how about
talk about this?
Well, we just, look at, before we come on, you got LeVar, TJ, and Plaxico, all right? Three African-American former NFL players. Right. And you know what they talked about today? They spent their whole first hour talking about this, and they were in accord. Like, what is this about? Why is this a positive?
Yeah.
And this, again, this comes from three African-American former NFL players.
Yeah, who played for a while. Like,
and they all had established NFL careers, prominent NFL careers, Super Bowl champions, Pro Bowl players. So the idea that the criticism of this is coming from a certain group of people is wrong, because I'm hearing those in the African-American community thinking, you know, instead of doing this whole Black National Anthem thing, which really isn't accomplishing anything other than reminding us again of the divide that we have in this country, how about spending some money towards the efforts to actually stem the tide about this systemic racism? And that's their feeling, and I agree with them. I mean, I don't know what is accomplished by this. Here's my personal feeling. I don't know why any anthem is played anywhere. Why is it? Because when you and I talked about this before the show, look, I've been around sports my entire life. And the matter of race was really introduced to me as a 7-year-old when I got my first baseball cards. Okay, I'm a white kid from the Valley here, in San Fernando Valley. And I'm looking at sports, and you know what? I was a Dodger fan, I was a Laker fan, I was a Ram fan. And if you weren't one of those guys, then I'm against you. I mean, that's just the way I looked at sports, especially with Dodgers with the Giants or the Rams or the 49ers or, you know, the Lakers with the Celtics. I'm against the other team. I'm not thinking in terms of anything other than the uniform. And so I look at this whole thing like playing of the national anthem at sporting events. Why is any anthem necessary to essentially politicize a sporting event? Because all I want to do is see the game. I just want to see a football game. Yeah. I just want to see a basketball game. I want to see the best athletes perform. That's all I want. When I'm going to a sporting event, I do not feel it necessary to have everything else thrown on top of me when all I'm looking for is a little entertainment in the sports world.
Well, yeah, it'd be odd, I think, if we went to a movie theater, right, and they played the anthem before the theater, you know, before the movie started, right? Because it's an entertainment event. I, I, So if you know, we have, of course, attended a lot of games, and when they tell you to stand up because there's a moment of silence for someone, you stand up and you take, you know, you have the moment of silence. If they tell you to stand up for the, now, I guess they don't, do they tell you to rise for the anthem? I just always rise. I don't know if they tell you to rise or not. We just kind of listen to the PA, right? Please rise.
Yeah.
There's something happening. If you did not know that this was the Black National Anthem, I'm not saying that you wouldn't rise anyways, but let's say you're at a ball game, you're not on social media, and they tell you to rise, they're playing a song. I'll just do it. Like, I don't know. I just would rise because that PA told me to do so. Because to your point, right, I am there to watch a game. And this is why, okay, my general opinion of this is, again, I think NFL does things for the bottom line, but none of this stuff has bothered me. Colin Kaepernick didn't bother me. The reaction to that didn't bother me. It bothered me a little bit, the reaction. This, again, I go to a sporting event for the entertainment of the game. I watch a sporting event for the entertainment of the game. I don't turn to sports for political opinions of athletes. I may or may not agree with some things people say. I agree with some athletes. I disagree with others. I don't agree with everything that a pro sports team says or does, same as the other way around. So, like, this doesn't bother me, but I get why it would bother other people. Because I would show up to a game that told me to stand. I'd be like, oh, okay, I'm standing now. I was at a minor league game the other night here in Charlotte. I'm actually going tonight, but I was at the other night. My wife and I were talking to a friend of ours. The anthem started playing. I stood up, put my hand over my heart. Anthem played. I turned back around and started talking again. Like, I'm just there for watch the game, right? Game starts. I watch the game. So this person doesn't bother me, Steve. I get why it would bother other people. Your points are totally valid, I think. But I just have never paid attention to anything outside of, like, when the game is on TV or when I'm at a sporting event when the game is being played.
All right. Yeah, it's frustrating.
And maybe I'm,
like,
because I think that people do go to games for some of the festivities. The people that had told me, especially the height of the kneeling, mm-hmm, in the NFL, that they went to watch the anthem. You're full of it. You didn't go to watch the anthem. Yeah, come on. Don't lie to yourself. It's my favorite thing my high school coach told us, which is don't lie to yourself. You didn't go to watch the anthem. Don't lie to me. Don't lie to yourself. Come on. But I understand why this would bother people. I understand all your points. It just is something that, like, I didn't even know this was a story till, like, 2 days, till someone tweeted me about it, I think. Like,
right.
It does not affect the way I view sports.
Again, what is your end game? If you're
to make
end
money.
Game, if you're using it under the guise of, we're trying to make advancements racism, you're doing by playing an anthem, Black National Anthem at the game. I mean, that's not going to change anything.
Unless advertisers and corporate sponsors give them more money because they do this, and that's their end game.
Well, then how about investing it? $250 million10 years? $25 million a year?
But yes.
For a league that revenue is $14 billion a year? Come on.
Yeah.
That is just, it's pennies. All right. Let's get away from that for a moment here. On the other side, okay. We got some big developments with this NBA Finals right now, not concerning who ultimately is going to win the championship, but how it could affect what's next, the Olympics. We'll come right back with that.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
the podcast
would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Steve Harbin and Jeff Schwartz. All right, got a little time before the top of the hour here, Jeff. I want to quickly touch upon, and we'll have more on the NBA Finals coming up, but they are in a rush to get this thing done. And with the series now tied 2-2, the possibility of a Game 7 is very real, obviously. And Game 7 is scheduled for July 22nd. The first game that the men's Olympic basketball team plays in Tokyo is July 25th.
Yep.
And if you haven't checked the Olympic roster for the United States, it includes three players that are currently playing in the NBA Finals, Middleton, Holiday, and Booker. That's one-fourth of your team. So think about this for a second. If it goes to a Game 7, whether you win Game 7 or lose Game 7, I mean, you've invested an entire season into what really matters most to you, obviously, and that is an opportunity to win an NBA championship, which for any one of those guys would be something they've never done before. So either you're feeling the exhilaration of winning a championship or the pain of losing Game 7 in the NBA Finals. And then literally 2 days later, you join forces with a bunch of guys you've had zero practice time with, and you're on the Olympic stage in an empty venue in Tokyo. Wow. You talk about a come-down situation. I don't know about you, but I am just anticipating a disaster for our United States Olympic basketball team. Not of their own making, but the idea that they just jammed this NFL season, everything was jammed in to accommodate having NBA players available for these games. Why was it so important? Well, when you have the hundreds of millions of dollars being invested by Asian countries into the NBA, you know the answer to that.
Yeah, you know, obviously, and they didn't even get like all the best NBA players, right?
Hardly.
If I was one of the players finishing up this series, I would have an ankle injury. Like, I would have a hamstring injury. I'd have a back injury. I have, you know, nerve pain in my back. Like, you can't actually like test for that. Like, you have to accept. Oh, well, yeah, I guess the nerve pain hurts. I would not play. Win or lose, I would not play this. Too quick of a turnaround. It's been a long season. It's been a trying season. Now you're going across the country to play an Olympics with no fans, with obviously continued COVID testing. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. I'd get out of it. I saw JaVale McGee was added to the roster today. I'm sure that'll help Team USA 0%. Like, I don't know why they added him. It doesn't matter. I just would not. I would not show up.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin Love, they had Kevin Love on the team, right? And he hasn't played like in 2 years. So he's out. So they bring in JaVale McGee, Keldon Johnson. Now, who are these? I mean, what's going on here? This is our Olympic team?
It's not good. Look, there's just not the incentive, I think. All these guys have played at some time or the other for the American team. And there's just not as much incentive, I think, to go win the gold now. You know, it's just, it's not the dream team.
Well, imagine going back to the bubble. I mean, that's essentially
that's also,
what they're
a big part of it.
They
too,
are
yes,
going back right. to the bubble.
No, you're exactly right.
I know,
right.
No more bubble for me. We did enough of the bubble. All right, very, very frustrating. All right, we'll get our sights set on Game 5, the NBA Finals. Suns, Bucks, who wins? We're going to tell you coming up next.
We're living in a bloody resort.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of
bit.
Us.
We're
a
figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
Been
the podcast
juicy.
Would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rolling along on this Saturday here, Harbin and Schwartz from the Fox Sports Radio studios. A lot of things going on in the sports world right now. We got a lot of things going on this week. Going to open up, you got the Open Championship. What's your guess right now? Oosthuizen, Morikawa, Spieth. Maybe Rahm shoots a really low score tomorrow, puts up a big number. If you're a betting man, which I know you are, I don't know if you ever played golf, but where's your money tomorrow?
I played golf yesterday. Oosthuizen most likely. It was odd. It is odd waking up in the morning at like 7 a.m. being like, oh, wait, there's actually major golf on right now.
This is what I love about the Open Championship. Like tomorrow, especially final round, like you wake up and you're already halfway through the round. Like, you know, it's going to be done by
the West Coast.
On the West Coast, we're rolling.
I think the leaders teed off today at like 10:25-ish Eastern.
Yeah.
I have not watched much of this because it catches me by surprise in the morning. Like, normally I'm not used to watching golf in the morning. It's caught me by surprise, especially Thursday and Friday.
Yeah. I love it. And it's been really weird this year because, you know, these links courses – The only thing that protects these courses is the wind and the weather. I mean, when they have bad weather, I mean, they are treacherous, but they've had very mild weather. Actually, they had beautiful weather, so they've been able to put out some good scores. So, got the Open Championship is out there. Obviously, we've already been talking a lot about the NFL training camps open. Steelers, Cowboys getting ready for the Hall of Fame game. So, we're going to have that going on this week. You know, we haven't even really touched on Major League Baseball. We certainly have a lot to talk about with the All-Star game behind us. I want to make a quick note following up where we were talking about with the NBA and they're morphing into this Olympic schedule. And if you hadn't heard, two guys already dropped out of the Olympic team. Kevin Love, who was a suspect pick to begin with, he bailed out. Also, Bradley Beal bailed out. So you got JaVale McGee, who's essentially a backup center in the NBA.
Yeah.
And Keldon Johnson, who plays for Pop's team with the Spurs that nobody knows, unless you're a Spurs fan, you've never heard of Keldon Johnson.
Right.
And now these guys are Olympians. But the entire Olympic experience, if you're NBC right now, you're losing your mind. Think about this. You have invested billions of dollars into this broadcast. There are no fans at these venues. Because when you watch, when we watch the Olympics over the years, Jeff, you know how it's all played out, right? We really play to the patriotism. And so whether you have, you always have the families out there, right? And they're rooting on their son or daughter in some Olympic event, and they're there and they're waving the American flag.
Oh, yeah.
Or they got, you know, team, whatever their name is. And it sort of gets you sort of drawn in. And then ultimately, if that athlete wins a medal, or wins a gold, you go to the podium, they have it draped over their neck, and play the anthem. It's all great. It plays well on TV. This year, there's nobody in these venues. Zero. You are going to be taken back to 2020 when we had the bubble. And you remember, we were talking about this last year, Jeff, during the NBA Finals. We were thinking, when we had no sports, none, but March, April, May, June, I'm like, are we ever going to have sports in 2020? And we were thinking, man, you know, when you get that NBA started, especially during the playoffs, you're going to have like record ratings. Everyone's at home. They're starving for sports. By the time they got to the NBA Finals, nobody was watching.
Yeah.
Because without the fans, the viewing experience completely changed. And now all of a sudden, the numbers have come back up. Fans, it's part of the viewing experience. You're going to take me through these Olympic Games with no fans, zero, back to 2020.
Yeah.
I am telling you, it's going to be a disaster.
It's not going to be great. And this is the first year, Steve, by the way, since 2000. And I think 2000,
mm-hmm.
I've been able to watch the Olympics because normally they happen during training camp.
Sure.
I have fond memories of like getting out of dinner or meetings and we all huddle around the TV to watch the 100 being run, right? Or watch. So I'm excited to watch the Olympics for the first time really in like 20 years. I'm excited for that. But you're right. It's going to feel weird.
How about the fact that the athletes are putting their own medals on? So they want that. I don't know. Do they leave it on the podium and then you reach over, look, pick it up and put it over your own neck? Or
yeah, it is. Yeah, it's disappointing that there's no fans there. You know, after we've watched now fans in the stands in America, it's going to feel like we're turning it back. Now, look, obviously, you're in Los Angeles. Everyone knows the news about L.A. putting the mask back on, at least in theory. We'll see who does it. You know, but it's going to be like we're going backwards.
Yes.
To watch the games with no fans. And look,
I mean, I feel for NBC. This is a nightmare for
it's
them.
It's not good for them. But that doesn't excuse the U.S. not being very good right now. I mean, like, they've played some bad basketball, but they're also, we're not sending our best either, right? They should allow amateurs to play in this. They should allow all those draftable players, Cade Cunningham, Mobley, Suggs, all those guys, they should let them play for Team USA.
My feeling is this. I mean, I go back. I remember Dream Team 92, okay? So when I remember, that was a reaction to our failure at the 1988 Olympic Games. Up until 1988, we had our college stars playing in the Olympics, okay? And during that entire run, we lost exactly one game. And that was that robbery against the Soviet Union in 1972. But the roster they put together in 88 was such it was so poorly constructed that we lost and we went into panic mode. Like, we can't lose at basketball. The heck with it. We're going to throw our NBA players out there. The Dream Team was a great story. It was. Bird couldn't even play anymore, but he's on the team. He got Magic, you know, coming off his situation, getting a chance to be on the court. That was an exciting story. And Michael Jordan was at the peak of his powers. And then you had Ewing and Barkley and all the other great stars. For one Olympics, it was really fun to see that. Since then, I could care less. And right now, you have an NBA that honestly could care less. I mean, you've already jammed this entire season down our throats. No one was happy with the season that was constructed by the NBA. And now you want us to stick around for the Olympic Games. And, oh, by the way, no fans are going to show up. So, as I mentioned, Kevin Love out, Bradley Beal out. They are trying to literally put a team together, and we're like a week away from the start of the Olympics. It's going to be a disaster. And I as you mentioned, if you're Devin Booker right now, Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday, and you go seven games in the NBA Finals, are you really going to get on a jet to go to sit in a bubble in Tokyo for 2 weeks? No way. No, I'm out. I mean, that would be my attitude. I'm out. Throw somebody else out there.
Correct. No one's going. You're 100% right. Now, will this change the way you watch other sports because there's no fans, or is that just really just for big venues?
I don't know. I mean, you know, the thing about the Olympics for people of my generation, Jeff, there was magic to it back in the ABC days with Jim McKay and watching Olympic Games as a kid. Back when the Winter Olympics and Summer Olympics would be in the same calendar year, it was the leap year. It was part of the leap year situation, right? I mean, I was riveted as a kid on the Olympics, and really all the way through. And then, of course, there was the boycott in 1980 that threw things off. The 84 games. I was here in Los Angeles in 1984. It was the year I started working for the Raiders, and the Olympics were here. And it was weird because we had no competition. The Soviet Union was out. The East Germans were out. Our main competition banned, and we were just winning everything. And it was a huge success. It was a ratings bonanza. It made money like they couldn't believe. It really gave a jump start to the interest in the Olympics thing. But ever since then, it just they add a bunch of sports. They subtract sports. There's sports like they bring golf back in or tennis. If you're a golfer or a tennis player, winning an Olympic gold, does that really mean anything? I don't know. Track and field, swimming, maybe gymnastics. There are very few sports that when the Olympics come around, I have an interest in.
Well, think about this. Golf, you have the majors to win, right?
Like, correct.
Same thing in tennis. If you're a track athlete, this is it, right? Like, this is
The World Track and Field Championships that none of us pay attention to.
Right, but they also have the Olympics, which is what we do pay attention to. So correct. if you are a track athlete, I totally understand. Yeah. I totally understand, like, why this matters so much. And the thing that's about, for me, the Olympics makes it so interesting just personally. You know, I play in a sport where I train for 6 months, boom, the season happens, I train for 6 months, these athletes have been training now for this Olympics, 5 years, right? Or even longer. But they've been preparing for 5 years now for one moment.
Yes.
You know, a prelim race, a semifinal race, and a final race. Like, that to me, the mindset of having to do that for all these years. I love talking to Olympic athletes, asking them how they stay motivated, how they're able to continue to battle through, and how they're able to perform. Because again, if I play a bad football game, I get another football game. If you run poorly in prelims or semis, you're not meddling. That's it. You've traveled all this time. You've done all these reps, all this practice to not get a medal at the Olympics, which of course is going to happen. And that for as an athlete, that fascinates me the most out of anything that happens at the Olympics. And I also like to see people dominate sports. I like watching the best get after it. But I'm so – the mindset, Steve, of that. Imagine if you have to wait 5 years for the moment to get – now, of course, there's prelims that you have to get to. You have to win at trials. There's plenty of opportunities to compete until the Olympics. But in this moment, you get 3, 4, 5 opportunities to do your sport. And if it doesn't work out in any of those five – you leave empty-handed.
Yeah, I agree with you. And then I think about those Olympic athletes, and I feel for them, and especially when you talk about track and field or swimming, where you have trials. See, we're the only country that does trials.
Oh, really?
Most of these other countries, they just select their top athletes. They don't subject them to the possibility.
But do they have that, do they have enough people to do that, though?
Well, but they do that. I mean, well, they don't. But I mean, there's something to be said about the Olympic trials. Let's just use track and field as an example. Is that, you know, you have a chance to make the Olympic team. Like, if they were just randomly saying, all right, these are the top 300-meter people or 200-meter, whatever it is in track and field, we're just going to select the guys based on the world ranking. But that's not the American way, right? We like to give the underdog a chance that somehow you have a miraculous day and you qualify. You made it. You made the Olympic team. And there's a lot to be said. The problem, of course, with that is many times our top track and field stars miss the Olympic team. They may have an injury or just an off day, and they end up having to wait 4 more years before they can make the Olympics. So, to me, track and field is still the marquee event of the Olympic Games. I grew up that way. It's always been that way to me. Swimming is right behind. Those two sports stand out to me in terms of what it is I'm going to watch, because swimming is the first week and track and field is the second week. So that, to me, everything else is just a sideshow. And to be honest, as far as Olympic basketball is concerned, I have absolutely zero interest. I do have interest, though, in the rest of this series. Let's get into this on the other side. So what are we seeing right now? How do we get to 2-2 in the series? I know Jeff Schwartz is always ready. Later on in this hour, he's going to tell you which way to swing. Will the Suns hold home court, or are the Bucks on the verge of winning their first championship since 1971? We will break it down coming up next.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of
bit.
Us.
We're
a
figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
Podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Steve Harbin and Jeff Schwartz getting ready for Game 5 of the NBA Finals. Anybody watching? Anybody watching? Suns Bucks tied 2-2. Home team has won every single game. There are Phoenix fans, there are Milwaukee fans that could not be more excited, and I can understand why. Phoenix Suns have never won an NBA championship, and the Bucks won theirs when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was actually still known as Lou Alcindor back in 1971. Two franchises born the exact same year, back in 1968. So here they are now best of two of three series. And the dynamics of this series have changed dramatically from where we thought we were before the series began. Let's go back to the Giannis injury in the Eastern Conference Finals. When you see a knee bend the wrong way, at the very least you're thinking, all right, if he tries to come back, he's just not going to be the same. I mean, there's no way you can have that kind of injury and perform at your best in an NBA Finals. It's just not the kind of sport when you have any kind of knee injury where you can come back from that. And not only did he come back, he's the same. I mean, he had back-to-back 40-point games. His efficiency is off the charts. So how is it possible? Seriously, a man that big, that long, and the injury that you saw, the hyperextended knee, suddenly just come back without any problem. I mean, how? How did he do that?
He just wasn't that hurt. I mean, that's quite simple. I play with a lot of guys who, I guess a lot's a big word. I play with four guys who'd be Hall of Famers, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I play with Eli Manning, who we've talked about this. He will be in the Hall of Fame, whether or not anyone agrees with it. Adrian Peterson in the Hall of Fame.
Guaranteed.
Steve Smith will be in the Hall of Fame. Wide receiver. Look, Jamal Charles is maybe the best running back that no one really knows is the best running back. I mean, he has yards per carry, number one in NFL history. He's incredible.
Yes.
But he didn't play enough, so he's not going to be in the Hall of Fame.
And there are guys, by the way, there are Hall of Famers that played less than him.
Correct. But Terrell Davis had the 3-year stint where like he was, you know, player of the year. And then Julius Peppers, okay?
Yeah.
Who's in the Hall of Fame.
First ballot.
Okay. So the thing those guys had in common is A, they were always healthy, and B, because they were always healthy, or maybe they're always healthy because of this, they're just freak show athletes.
Yeah.
Like, I can't explain to you how Adrian Peterson, I was there in 2012 when he rushed for 2,000 yards. I had the same injury he did. He had a sports hernia, a core abdominal injury. He had that injury the last 6 weeks of the season. I had the same injury in training camp. I had immediate surgery, and I was back 3 months later. He played the entire rest of the season, rushing for 200 yards, 230 yards, leading our offense for 6 weeks in a row. He couldn't even practice. He just showed up on Sundays and played as good as he could play.
Yeah.
Those guys are just built differently.
Correct. I agree.
Giannis is just built differently.
Apparently so, because when we were breaking down this series ahead of time, right, the conventional wisdom was, all right, Phoenix plays in the West is better than the East. And if there's no Giannis, then forget it. It's over. But what we've seen is, it's interesting how this played out, because remember when Charles Barkley made the comments in the Eastern Conference Finals when they were tied 2-2, Giannis was out the last two games. Now, granted, Trae Young missed one of those games and was subpar with that bone bruise in the final game. But we saw Middleton and Holiday play really good, and Charles Barkley said, you know, I hate to say this, but the best thing that happened to this team was Giannis going down with the injury. The interesting dynamic about this Bucks team is they really have not yet had Giannis, Middleton, and Holiday all play the same game at a high level offensively. Now, yeah. I have to give Holiday credit because he's done a hell of a job clamping down on Chris Paul, who had 15 turnovers in the last three games. He hasn't had that kind of stretch of that many turnovers over a three-game span in over 3 years. But still, I feel like the Bucks haven't really had that game yet. And it might come tonight.
Yeah, I think the concern with that is that, you know, Middleton is just unreliable as far as what you're going to get from him every night.
Yeah.
And if he were more reliable, I think they'd win the series. You know what you're getting from Giannis. Obviously, Drew Holiday has done an amazing job on Chris Paul. I mean, is he hurt? Is he not hurt? That's what people are talking about. But they're forcing a ton of turnovers, which the Suns in the regular season did not turn the ball over very much. Their lack of size is hurting the Suns as well. And so the Bucks are going inside more often. It points toward the Bucks winning tonight and really winning the series, which I thought I'd never say. I mean, we talked about this, I think, before this started. It's like, I don't even trust the coach. Like, very often, coaching in a series where you have equally talented teams, coaching matters a whole deal. And I think that Monty Williams is better than Budenholzer, but Budenholzer's done a good enough job adjusting so far in the finals. Home court advantage, obviously, very important. My favorite thing to be said is the series doesn't start till the home team loses.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this is in theory, you could have all seven games won by the home team. Did the series actually get played, right? If the series doesn't start till the home team wins. So it's been very good for the home team in the series. I just think tonight, I would lean Milwaukee +4, +4.5. I think Milwaukee is getting more confident. They're playing a little bit better right now. Again, they're forcing more turnovers. Their size is being an issue. They've obviously found some sort of defensive matchup against Chris Paul. Is Chris Paul healthy? You know, Booker, as much as we talk about Middleton being up and down, you know, Booker can be up and down too, right?
Can I jump in on Booker for a second here?
Now, I know you're going on there. I was going to say this too. Go ahead.
Well, okay. So let's talk about conspiracy theories in the NBA.
Oh, conspiracy.
This was in full effect. If you were watching Game 4, Booker got his fifth foul, and he was sitting on the bench. He comes back in the game just under 4 minutes ago. It's a 3-point Phoenix lead, and there's a breakaway to Drew Holiday, and he goes up to the hoop, and Booker tackles him. Yes. He literally tackles him. The official's looking right at it. Now, Holiday scored on the layup, but no sixth foul that would have taken Booker out of the game. Now, fortunately for the Bucks, they were able to come back and win that game and, by the way, cover the spread as well. But when you see a play like that, where an absolute intentional foul is committed by Devin Booker, apparently he knew he had five fouls, but he's like, I got to stop this guy regardless, even if I foul out of the game. And they don't call it. I mean, this is the problem that we have with the NBA. There's so many conspiracy theories about protection of players or why. How did Wilt Chamberlain never foul out of a game in his entire career? I mean, come on. And then you watch that play and you're like, come on, how legit are you if that's a play that you're going to completely ignore? How are you legit if that sixth foul is not called on Devin Booker right there?
The NBA does not help itself with the conspiracy theories by not calling the sixth foul there, right? And he almost fouled him twice, right? Going up and then, like, as he was in the air, he fouled him again. That's the other thing about Booker. I thought you were going here is like every time he plays well, he's like Kobe Bryant all of a sudden. Like, guys, he's not Kobe. It's okay to just say, hey, Devin Booker, you played great tonight, attaboy. Like, why do we rush to compare players to other players? Why can't we just enjoy when Devin Booker plays well? Hey, man, young man, you had a great game. Not like, oh, my God, he's the next Kobe Bryant. Like, he is not next Kobe Bryant. Stop saying that. He's also not a superstar yet. He's super and a superstar yet. Like, please, if he plays well tonight, can we just enjoy what we're watching instead of comparing him to someone else? It drives me insane how we do this.
How about comparing yourself to Michael Jordan? I'm going to have an example of that on the other side. But first, let's find out what is trending right now. Ralph Ervin is back with us. So, Ralph, who is going to win the Open Championship tomorrow? You are Mr. Golf.
First of all, I just note that in that transition, I believe you just compared me to Michael Jordan. That's very touching, Steve.
Actually,
I think you're biased. So
the comparison is after you update us on everything.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, stop this.
Although I do think of you in very high regards.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Golf might be a reach, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you waking up early tomorrow, Ralph, to watch us live?
Well, I don't have to. I mean, early. I'm not going to watch the guys that are teeing off at 1:30 in the morning Pacific because they don't matter.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, you're not going to watch Ricky Fowler start his
round? I don't tune in 7 hours before the Super Bowl for the pregame festivities either. I know when kickoff is.
Yes.
Will I tune in at 7 a.m., an hour before the leaders go? Sure.
Oh, yeah.
But Sure. Who's going to win tomorrow? Mm-hmm. Well, right now, Louis Oosthuizen is in the best shape. He is at 12 under par and alone atop the leaderboard after shooting a 1 under par 69. He's one shot ahead of Colin Morikawa, the 2020 PGA champion, but 268 today. He's at 11 under par, and those definitely are the ones that you want to look at, because then you go back. It's already three strokes back, Jordan Spieth is, after a 1 under 69. Could have been in a great position, but he did bogey his last two holes today. And four shots back, you'll find Corey Connors and Scottie Scheffler. And I know, Steve, you're interested. Five shots off the pace. The group includes the U.S. Open champion, Jon Rahm, who shot a 268 today.
Rahm puts up a 65 tomorrow, gets to 12 under.
Well, the interesting thing with what they're doing is the greens are slow.
Yeah.
And because of that, they're putting the pins in the corners of these greens.
Yeah.
They're not accessible. And as such, you can putt it out, but it's going to be really hard to get it tight.
Yeah.
And thus, scoring is going to be difficult.
All right.
Other news today, Robbie Grossman, a home run. Detroit snaps a four-game losing streak, beating Minnesota 1-0 game one of their doubleheader. Right now, two games going on in Major League Baseball. The Cubs and Arizona are scoreless. They're in the second inning, but Oakland gets a Mitch Moreland double in the first inning. They take a 1-0 lead over the Indians. Still batting in the bottom of the first. Actually, they're going to the second now in that contest. Tonight, Game 5 of the NBA Finals. In other NBA news, Washington Wizards named Wes Unseld Jr. as their 25th head coach in franchise history. Of course, his father was head coach with that franchise. The second father-son team all time in the NBA to coach the same organization. And I know you know, Steve, the first one.
Father-son to coach the same team in the NBA?
In the NBA.
Who was that?
That would be
Saunders?
No. Flip and Ryan Saunders.
I got the Saunders. How about that? I got that out of nowhere. But I did. Thank you very much.
It was Stump Homer once again.
But I got through. Very good. Thank you very much, Ralph. Always appreciate it. All right. So last night, Jeff, I lost 2 hours I'll never get back in my life. I went to see Space Jam, A New Legacy.
Ooh, okay.
All right. Let me... Let me do my best to try to give you an idea of what this was all about. Now, did you see the original Space Jam? Yeah,
of course, yes.
Okay. Well, you say of course because, you know.
It was when I was 10. I mean, of course.
1996, that came out 25 years ago. And apparently that movie had a great impact on a young LeBron James, where when he was in a position of power, which obviously he's in right now, he wanted to do his own version of Space Jam, which is the new legacy. So I'm watching this movie last night, and it was painful. It was painful in just so many ways. I was trying to watch this thing, sort of putting it into context, like exactly who is the target audience?
You.
And, well, it wasn't me, obviously.
Was
no, it was not me. Look, I am a huge LeBron James NBA basketball player fan, have been since he came in the league.
Same.
And I have said many, many times over and over again, he's the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time.
Oh, okay. In front of Jordan.
Here's the problem with this movie. A, obviously, he can't act because he's not an actor. Secondly, they assemble the fake family. You know, so, you know, he's a family guy. And this is something they're really professing in this movie, is that LeBron's really a good family guy, which he is. Except when you have a fake family made for movies that you don't feel the connection. Like, without spoiling the movie, if that's possible. I mean, there's this whole thing between him and his younger son, except it's not his actual younger son. It's an actor, and so any kind of, you know, embrace is awkward.
So they need to use his real family.
I would have, honestly, because my thought with his real family is they could act every bit as good as their dad, okay, because he can't act. But I again, it was just, and the other thing that really got to me is this product placement. It was unbelievable. I mean, it was whether it was a promotion for Warner Brothers or Nike, or they're bringing, like, they have this crowd, you know, it's the same story as Space Jam. It's essentially the same movie with a few twists, but it's basically the same story. And they have in the background with the crowd surrounding the basketball court for the big game, you know, they have like these movie characters of movies from like Clockwork Orange. I was like looking up like, who exactly is he going to, if you didn't see a Clockwork Orange in 1971, you would absolutely have no idea who that is that's in the crowd. I thought Ernie Johnson was good. He actually was having some fun with this, but I will say this. Unless you are absolutely hell-bent on seeing this movie, my personal recommendation is just pass.
Why'd you go?
Garbage.
This was because my younger son, who's 23 years old, is an absolute NBA diehard. He loves LeBron. He knew that, you know, so-called Anthony Davis was in the movie. He's not. He's really his cartoon characters in the movie. And after we left the movie, as we were walking out of the theater, and by the way, I had five people in my party, including myself. That's a lot of money out of my pocket. Anyway, I said, well, what'd you think, Gary? I mean, essentially, we're here because of you.
Yeah.
And he goes, that was really stupid. So,
oh, okay. So yeah, he's with you.
Yeah, he was with me on that one. I think he was even more upset than I was. But is that now, are you going to go see Space Jam, A New Legacy?
Steve, my wife doesn't like going to movies. And yeah. I've seen, like, we've been married. Well, since we have a kid, our kid just turned seven.
Yeah.
I've probably seen four movies in the theaters. And two of them were like the 50 Shades of Grey movies. Like, the answer is no. I'm not going to the theater. My kids, I don't think, even care about this movie. No, I'm not planning on doing it. I mean, you know, I'll catch it when it comes on HBO eventually, but, the first one was good enough for me. The first one, look, the first one wasn't even that great. I mean, it's just, you know, when you're a kid, like that's a, you know, it was a fun premise, but as an adult watching it, you know, not my thing. So no, I will not rush out and see it. And I will just take your word for it.
I mean, you really have to be a diehard.
So the first one, the music was great, right?
Yeah.
That's one reason why people liked it. Is the music as good now as it was then?
No, it wasn't. There were a lot of things that they did. There were some PC things they also did to this movie to bring us up to date on what might have been acceptable in 1996 that is not acceptable in 2021.
Yes.
And I mean, I'm just, again, don't get me started in all this. I mean, it's just driving me absolutely freaking nuts, all this stuff. And I just, you know, my attitude has always been very simple. As someone, as a proud American, I believe everyone has the right to freely express themselves. And I don't have to listen to anybody. I can make up my own mind. I've lived long enough to actually do that. And so I don't want to suppress anybody. Okay. No one should be suppressed for speaking their mind. That is something I believe in 100%. And if they say something I disagree with, fine. If they say something I agree with, fine. It doesn't matter to me. But again, I'm always giving it from the context of sports, something I've dedicated my life to, and I have never regretted it. I mean, I'm on the other side. So my point is, I have never regretted that I have dedicated so much of this life to sports. And there's a lot of reasons for that, because I think sports provides a certain level of excitement that other things don't. There's also that whole sharing an experience when you go to a game or you're watching a game where you just sort of just, you're all brought together, the common interest in sports that to me is unique to the sports world. These are the things that have made me never regret. And I've had opportunities and people have tried to get me into other, you know, in this media business of other things. I'm not interested. I am perfectly fine just sitting in my world of sports. And when people try to change things in a way that I disagree, well, I understand I have to live with that, but I'm not happy about it because I don't think a lot of the changes are necessary.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can just let it bother you or not, which it doesn't seem to actually bother you because you're still going to see the movies. Or you can let it bother you and change the way you live. Like, that's the way I look at a lot of these things. Like, I can let it bother me, or I can just, whatevs. And, like, if that's the way LeBron wants to make his movie, again, it doesn't make or break me wanting to see it. But if there's things that I don't agree with that someone says or does, I just won't I won't buy their things, or I won't give them money, or I won't pay attention to them. Like, that's what I think most of us do, right? I'm not seeing the movie anyways, and this won't persuade me anyway. But yeah, I get what you're saying, but that's where we are now, and it ain't going back the other direction. So that's why I just accept this is how movies are made. This is how TV shows are. This is how, especially the internet, can be at times, especially on social media. And just accept it for what it is.
One thing they definitely changed was Lola Bunny.
I've been told, yeah.
Yeah, they really toned her down. That's not playing. What played in 1996 with Lola Bunny is not playing in 2021.
I'm going to look up this Lola Bunny.
Yeah, the before and afters of Lola Bunny from where she was in 96 to where she is in 2021 is like night and day. Okay, fine.
Very. She had the arm sleeve on, the loose jersey.
Exactly. Very changed. Very changed.
Very. Oh wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Flatten the curves. Exactly.
Much different now.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry you lost those 2 hours.
Yes.
You make it up tonight with some NBA finals.
Well, I'm going to, and on the other side. Well, and we got some baseball to talk about. We'll jump on that as well. It's always our chance to wrap things up, but getting a little insight from Jeff Schwartz, like, where is his money tonight? And think about it, a tough game tonight. The Bucks all the way back. You rival the Suns right now, home court advantage. And we'll get some thoughts on what was a bit of a hiccup start of the second half of the season for Major League Baseball coming up next.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're
a
figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days,
it would have been juicy.
Podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Steve Harbin and Jeff Schwartz want to thank the crew today. Hi, I was Sam. He really enjoyed that last segment talking about Space Jam.
I'm entertained by your take on it. Now it makes me want to see the movie.
I know. The first hour especially is maybe the most painful hour I've spent in a movie theater in a long time.
But see,
I mean, I do not exaggerate.
Here's the thing, Steve. Yeah. Space Jam still wins because I end up seeing it anyway.
Okay. So you're going to see it anyway.
I might, just because you say it's such a pile of, you know, something.
Yeah, you got to see it now. Bo, how about Bo hanging out today?
What's going on? I actually streamed Space Jam on HBO Max yesterday, so saw it.
Yeah. Wait, it's already on HBO Max?
And what do you think?
It's in theaters and on HBO Max, so if you don't want to drag yourself to the theater to watch it, you can watch it on HBO.
Do you think of the movie?
Wait, you mentioned that, you know, like they didn't have his actual family in the movie.
Right.
And I wonder if that's because LeBron is so mean to his family in that movie.
Yes.
And I'm shocked that he allowed that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm surprised that they allowed as many jokes about him like leaving teams the way he does.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of those jokes.
Was actually a funny joke.
Yeah, no.
That came from Bugs.
There's some stuff in there that it actually is really funny. But yeah, it's not great. It's a really long commercial.
There were so many different I was losing sight of all the products they were trying to promote there.
Did you see Pennywise the Clown in the crowd?
Like, oh yeah.
What? This is a kids movie, right?
Like I said, I saw characters from Clockwork Orange in this movie, which is definitely not a kid's movie back in the day. And Ralph Ervin doing a tremendous job as well. Look at Ryan. He's looking over. Ryan, are you here? Were you part of the show today? No, not really. He's coming in next, you know, taking over for Bo today. So I want to thank everybody for their contribution today. Hey, by the way, before we get to your thoughts on tonight's Game 5 of the NBA Finals and maybe some thoughts on a little bit of a hiccup to start the baseball season, very quickly here, I want to ask you, Jeff, about the story that Tom Brady had a torn MCL the entire year, and not just the fact that he was obviously able to play through it and ultimately win a Super Bowl, but as a gambler, when they don't report something like that, like that was never posted once that he had a knee injury to that extent. Is that a problem?
Well, first of all, what a heroic effort by Tom Brady, right? He just needs more reasons to be a hero.
Sure.
I'm sure his haters loved hearing that. Look, if you're not on the injury report, that means you're not getting treatment. And that's what the injury report is about, right? If you're getting treatment in the facility, you're on the injury report. If you miss practice, you're on the injury report. If you obviously miss a game, and obviously it wasn't bad enough for him to miss practice or game, right? He has his own rehab system and it works. So I don't think that's a problem because he didn't miss any time.
But if it is posted that he has, let's say, an MCL situation.
I don't think it would have changed how we gambled on the Bucks.
Okay. All right. So that's really what
especially with a quarterback who's not mobile.
Right. And that's why the NFL is concerned about this, because now that they're fully in bed with the gambling world, they want to make sure they're on the up and up. All right, let's talk about Major League Baseball for a moment here. How about that? I mean, the Yankees-Red Sox, supposed to be the kickoff game on Thursday, and they had to shut it down. Now, they're back in that series, but Aaron Judge, who was fully exposed to the rest of the All-Stars in Denver, he comes down with COVID. I mean, are you annoyed by that story? Concerned by that story? What was your thoughts when you're like, wow, are we back there again?
I'm more annoyed that baseball made the players wear those horrendous uniforms.
Oh my.
An All-Star game, because you know part of the fun of the All-Star game is you get to see your favorite player wearing the jersey of your favorite team, right? It's an individual sport.
Isn't that why they insist on every team being represented
at
an All-Star game?
That's actually not. I don't think
Houston, Houston had four players bail on the game, and they made the decision not to have any of them replaced.
Okay,
and that's because everyone hates the Astros. That's
of course. And so those are horrendous uniforms. Nonetheless, look, I think that, you know, we've said today, right, is that it's just kind of tiring, right, to continue to deal with this. But this is the reality with which we're living in right now.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't take precautions, of course, vaccinated people can test positive, but a lot of people now are testing positive or unvaccinated. If we want to stick in the athlete world, right? Some have tested positive. They've been vaccinated. Majority of them have not. And I turn my attention to football, right? This is why football has put in such stringent protocols for vaccinated players or unvaccinated players. There's good reports. You know, 7 teams over 85% vaccination, just a handful under 50%. I think I saw 73% of players have at least one shot.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the NFL players, whether they want to take it or whether they're seeing what's happening in other sports or whether their team is begging them to do it, that's where I turn my attention to. Baseball, look, there's 162 games. They miss 3 or 4, they'll survive. But I turn my attention to football and say, hey, guys, another example where if your team is not vaccinated at a high rate, it's a competitive disadvantage for you this season.
All right, which way are you leaning for Game 5 of the NBA Finals? Are you giving the points? Or?
Yeah, I like Bucks plus the 4. I think it's plus 4, 4.5. I think they're playing, but they're trending in the right direction.
I think they're going to sweep out the series. I think the Suns have won their last game in the series.
The Suns have the home field court. That's a home court advantage, which everyone is kind of leaning into. But I just think the Bucks are playing better. All the numbers are trending to Milwaukee. And by the way, everyone's betting on Phoenix tonight too, which makes me feel even better about taking Milwaukee. The numbers are very, very skewed to the Suns.
I think the Bucks wrap it up in 6. I don't think we'll even get to a Game 7 as far as the NBA Finals are concerned. Great stuff as always, Jeff. We'll do it next week.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.